Hey guys.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
We are back. I have zero clue what episode we are on, by the way.
Oh, I think we're still single digits, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think
sure.
This is 9.
Oh, really?
Really?
Was the follow-up 8?
Maybe. I have no idea.
It's 8 or 9.
Look at
so
us.
So we're still like learning to walk and talk well.
Yes, we're very young. That's what that means. We are learning. Bear with us. Mm-hmm. Hey, I did want to take a second and just say thanks to all of the women who have come up to me or messaged us or anything like that to let us know that they're listening and learning. It's good for us to know that we're not necessarily making a difference, but making a difference, but people are actually listening to what we are saying and
it's
learning alongside of us. Like, you're taking the time to learn as we're learning. And so it just is encouraging to keep going. So I even had someone say something to me on Sunday that I was like, oh, wow, you listen. Would have never thought. So if you're listening out there, make sure if you see one of us, you give us a high five
I was listening to the Song of Solomon follow up way later after the fact, like recently. And so I am waiting for anyone to walk up to me who's in their 50s or 60s.
We want 60s, 70s.
I'm like thrifty, 51. I'm looking for 51 help.
Okay.
Did you say thrifty?
Thrifty 50.
She just wants the thrifted information.
You do all the work and tell me what you compiled.
Yeah. Somebody let Jody know. Inquiring minds.
Thrifting. And
if you haven't listened to the episode, go listen if you're over 50 and then come back and report.
We need some encouragement.
Song of Solomon in your 50s.
I know. All right, guys, for our giggles today, the weather is like keeps changing. I'm like, oh, the weather's so nice. I can comment on that. Now it's like not beautiful today.
Actually, it's turning right now.
Is it?
It's turning, like a little warmer and sunnier.
So I want to know if you have a crazy bike riding story. I know that.
What?
Your family, Shelly, you guys got into biking for a little bit. It seems like you let Sean have that as his thing, right? Or do you still bike?
I bike. I don't mountain bike.
So, oh, right. I mean, yeah.
There's a big difference.
Maybe it's just me and you.
No, well, she bikes. Nothing funny or scary has ever happened to you?
I like to ride long distance alone. And so, like, when I'm on, like, the Levee Road, I'll see pickups. And I do like have quick visions of like them attacking me and throwing me in the back of the truck and their bike.
Oh, man.
And I'm just like screaming. This is a true story that happened to my sister-in-law. Someone attacked her and she just started screaming Jesus's name.
Oh, wow. You said that.
And it turned out well for her. So nothing's happened. Although my sister went on a run like literally a couple days ago and she was going for a run and this man followed her and said, you look great. You're doing a great job running.
Ew.
And that's you know weird. What she said? Yeah, I'm trying to get in shape after my 7th kid.
He's like, see ya.
He gave her his card and then walked away. It was like,
wow. I hate that.
That's weird.
That is weird. But I do think, like, what if I have a flat tire? Or what if I? But so far, so
you
good.
Get stranded.
Funny story was Monday during the eclipse. I just kept riding and then I would stop and look up and then ride and look up. And then finally, when it was close, I just like laid on the ground and watched the total eclipse.
Where, here?
Towards past Valmeyer.
Yeah. Nice.
Wow. You were riding your bike. Like, did you ride past Valmeyer from Columbia past Valmeyer?
Yes. Wow.
That's impressive, actually.
It was just like 19 miles, and then I turned around.
Wow. My story.
What's your bike story?
You're going to laugh.
Training
since you
wheels?
Rode from Columbia to Valmeyer. So in 2020, we had the girl's older sister for that summer. So she was 8 at the time. So we've had her a couple days. You know, 2020, there's nothing to do. So I'm like, let's go on a bike ride. We had like
I remember
one
the story.
Decent bike.
Tell where you lived.
Not so decent bike. So if you're familiar with our town, we lived up Cherry Hill at the time. And
that's a good long hill.
That's tough.
Well, you don't ever
go up
ride
it.
Up the hill.
Right.
You can ride down the hill. But I don't even think I let her ride down the hill because she was only 8. So we go to the bike path. So from my house down, you know, we get to Gadurn. Easy, 25 minutes. Well, this is not a lie. It's not like one of those it's uphill both ways kind of story. But if you turn around, it is slightly uphill when you come back towards Cherry. So I was like dying. So hot.
Because she had the good bike.
She had the good bike and I had like
no
you
gears.
Had the great bike. So you think bike riding is so easy. And
no
I was
gears.
Like dying or good gears, but like don't work properly or I don't know how to work them properly.
Yeah, yeah. Not helping me.
So the whole way back, she already called me mom. So she was like, mom, I'll switch with you. I'm like, I can't switch with you. I'm the, you know, however old I'm, 40-year-old. You're the 8-year-old, but she's a beast of a kid. So we, at some point, I had to switch her because I was like, I can't breathe.
Did you just push it?
I don't even know if we had water. I think we were probably dying of thirst. And we finally get back. Jamie's like, what is the matter? I'm like, well, apparently I cannot ride bikes.
Bikes are hard.
It was so brutal. She was fine. I was like,
she's
I'm
going
to die. I can never
her body
do this
hasn't
again.
Been tired yet.
Jody Dryant rides from Columbia to Fall.
Well, you know what? I would just made me remember the first time I did 50. It started raining on the way back, and I was like, I just want to be home. And I have a big hill at the very end. And so I called Addison. I'm like, will you come get me? And she's like, yeah, yeah. And so, like, she was going to take my car to come pick me up because I just could not make the end of it. She called me back. She's like, mom, you have the keys with you.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I was in near tears. I'm like, I guess I got to ride all the way home.
Had you stopped to wait for her at that point?
No, I just kept talking to, you know, I'm like, are you coming yet? Nope, not coming.
No. Oh, man.
Shelly, did anything ever happen to you guys on the trails?
Well, not so much to me, but this would have been maybe 2 or 3 years ago, because I guess Sean hasn't been into mountain biking that long, but he likes to go down to Bentonville. That's where, like, at least for our area of the United States, that's where, like, the good mountain biking is. And so he had this idea. His parents live not far. And so he had this idea of, like, taking them with us. So this isn't me personally, but it is a biking story. And his dad used to, like, I mean, his parents are in their 70s, but his dad as a kid rode dirt bikes and stuff. And so his dad wanted to do what they do, you know, where they go off. I mean, it's not off road, but it's like on these trails. And anyway, but then there are paved trails. So there's both. There's dirt with rock, you know, rock, and they jump and they do all this crazy stuff. But then there's nice paved trails. So I do the paved trails. I just kind of do my own thing on the paved trails. And then they go off and do all their crazy stuff. But so his parents, he had this idea, let's take my parents with me. They're going to love it. They're going to love Bentonville. And so they rented e-bikes for both his mom and dad.
Now, they have a motor.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Which Assist. Is not important to this part of the story. But anyway, so his dad went off with Sean and Nathaniel and Natalie, and they're off doing stuff. And so he told me, he was like, well, just ride with my mom. You guys just stay on the paved path, and I think she'll be fine. Just go nice and slow. And now that we've been there, we have a better idea how the trails there work. But we started at this parking lot. I think it's called the All-American, for anybody that's familiar with Bentonville. But it was the top of, like, it was up high. And the whole part of the trail to get down to the bottom where you're riding flat is all, it's all curvy, and it's a big, big, big hill. And we just weren't thinking when that's where he started. That's just where, at that point, this is only the second time we'd ever been down there, I think. And that's just where he would always start. And then that's where they take off. And so I told Sean's mom, I was like, okay, now this part, you know, like, it's kind of steep, so we'll just have to go nice and slow. And then when we get to the bottom, it's all flat and it'll be great. Like, I knew she'd be fine once we got to the bottom. And I really thought that we were going to lose her. Like,
oh,
it was,
no.
It was very dangerous. It was very scary. And she was, so, I mean,
it was so fast.
Yeah. I mean, she's trying to go as slow as she can, but, she took off, and I was just, I mean, all I could do was pray. She ended up, thankfully, she kind of just went off, like, into the hill. But that stopped her. And then she kind of fell off. But she was safe. She didn't get seriously hurt. No, but I mean, she really should have. And so anyway, after that,
Denise.
I was like, Sean, why did we start at the top of the All-American? This was the dumbest thing ever. And then once we got down into the bottom, then there's a parking lot. Like, there was a completely different place. We could have gone, and she and I could have just ridden the flat part. And instead, she's trying to, like, go down a mountain, and she, you know, it was really scary.
Did she want to continue when you got to the smooth?
No. No. And she has not gotten on a bike since. She's done. She's like,
no
more bike.
Do you wear helmets and gear when you were just riding the paved trails?
I do a helmet. Okay. I don't have elbow pads and knee pads and all that stuff, because I mean, I do some dirt stuff, but nothing like the guys do. Or the kids, Sean and the kids do.
That does not look fun to me.
I know. It looks very dangerous.
What's your story?
Well, first of all, when Hayden was deployed and I was pregnant with Hazel.
Oh, my goodness. That was so
Sean's like,
funny.
You need to get out of the house. The weather's beautiful. I'm like 30 weeks pregnant. And they took me. I went with the Williamsons. It's like 10 miles. I don't know.
Out on we were out on the levee.
All the levee. We
on the bike riding.
I am going to 30
weeks
die.
Pregnant.
Sean
thought that was a great idea.
Flat, but like bikes are hard.
Well, you didn't have
your balance. I mean,
well, yeah, but and you didn't have a bike with adjustable gears.
No,
you had just a simple cruising bike.
It's just a bike. It's a Schwinn.
Right. That's just for like driving
and
around.
And I had Sage in a seat in front of me, so you kind of have to like frog your legs.
So
to,
you were like 30 so weeks pregnant. Unwieldy.
Hold on, you have a baby belly and a baby in front of you.
And no gears.
I'm like,
Sean, this is a advice. If Pastor Sean invites you to go for a bike,
do not go.
Check in with Shelly first.
I'll be like, am I pregnant? Is it?
Yes. And I kept asking him, I'm like, should we turn around? And he's like, oh no, she's good. Let's keep going. I was like, oh my goodness.
Well, I don't say things. I know. Like, I would never just be like, oh, I feel a faint. Like, I don't say things like that. They're like, you good? I'm good. I'm good.
Right. But when are we turning around?
How much further is it? No, but I was thinking of one when I lived in Carrollton. Shelly, did you ever, anyone listening from Carrollton, just don't get mad at me. Have you ever been to the poorhouse? Do you remember that?
I remember it. I had not been there, no.
Okay. So you're probably not allowed to. There's this mansion outside of Carrollton. It's called the poorhouse.
The mansion is called the poorhouse?
Yes. It's an old and abandoned mansion.
Meaning
it's
they were
huge.
Poor or that was their last name?
So it was supposedly, I know I haven't researched this, but the word was during like hard times, the depression, stuff like that. Anyone could come, especially like pregnant women, people lost, sick, like mentally ill, people who didn't have someone to take care of them. Just everyone would live at this house and like be cared for and stuff like that. Well, it's abandoned and it's cool to go there and spray paint your name inside.
Oh, definitely illegal.
I don't know that I have done that. That's not what this story is about. Okay. So my friends and I, we called ourselves the Fab Four. It was the little four of us. We had heard about it. We didn't have our license yet, but we knew this poorhouse was like out this country road past the park. We're like, let's ride there. So we get our bikes and we just start off past the park. Well, we didn't actually know the way. And there's like country roads that kind of crisscross. And we got further and further. We're not finding it. We're like, let's go down this path. Let's go down this path. We're just out in the wilderness. And we were like, we're going to die of thirst. We were so hot. We're like sweating. None of us brought water bottles. That wasn't back when you carried water bottles. You just kind of go for it.
Yes. Your parents don't know where you are.
No phones.
No GPS.
No road bikes. They're just the regular Walmart kind. And we were dying. And so we felt like we're in a movie, like we're dying. We have to go up to this like old country house. And we walked up slow and like, oh, we're perishing. And we knock on the door and this old lady's like, what are you guys doing out here? Yeah, we were going to die, Jody.
They're an old country town, like, too. You do that there.
Yeah, you could actually die.
This old lady answered. She was like, what are you guys doing out here? We're like, can you give us some water? And she's like, you can use the hose around back. We're like, okay. So we go around back and we're spraying our heads. Oh, we're going to die. We drink as much water as we could for the long journey. We're still lost. And so we hop back on our bikes. We went further. This was a whole day of trying to figure out how to get back home. We ended up stopping by a cornfield. We were like sucking the corn water. Yeah. We were each getting corn and like sucking up. We're like, this is the only way we'll survive. And then eventually we got to the highway and we couldn't figure out which side of the highway.
What direction?
So dumb. Why were we out in the wilderness? And we just like, we're like, which side of the highway are we on? And so we went till we saw the fairgrounds and just walked all the way back into town, and we did not die. But
you did not make it to the poorhouse.
We did not find the poorhouse that day. No, which is so silly because now that like I'm a grown up and I know where it's at, I'm like,
so close.
I mean, yeah, we should have found it. We also had only heard rumors. We had no idea what we were actually looking for. But when you see it, you know you found it. So, whoops. But anyway.
Oh my goodness.
But that story brings in going out of the way, sort of, no. And excellent. Water. Needing water. So
worn out. Yes. Jesus, worn out.
So this this yep. brings us right into way our story.
Segue, Casey. Yes.
Thanks. No.
She's not an 8-year-old podcaster. No. She's experienced.
Oh, step.
So John 4, that's where we are.
We are talking about the Samaritan woman today.
So we just want to start reading?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so John chapter 4, starting in verse 3, it tells us that Jesus, left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. We want to stop for a minute and talk.
Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Your Bible says it's so much better than mine.
Oh. No,
is that ESV?
It is ESV.
I switch. I'm in NIV today. Yeah. I like ESV, I think. Yeah, so Samaritans, why? Why do we not like? I feel like growing up, every time I heard stories of Samaria, I just assumed they were the like bad, sinful town. They were the dirty, bad people. And then Jews were like the good ones. And that's why they didn't associate.
But it's so confusing though when Jesus talks about the good Samaritan, like the Samaritan was the hero in that parable. Oh, yeah. So you're like, okay, they're not that bad. They're the only one that stopped and helped the guy in the ditch. Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So why do Jews and Samaritans not get along? Do we know? We do know.
We do know.
We study that. I didn't actually write a ton of that down. I just...
I did a little Googling, which, you know, who knows if Google's true or not, but it said that the Samaritans only read the Torah. Mm-hmm.
The first five.
Is that correct? So only first five. That's all they would read and study.
Which I read that they also kind of, the Samaritan Pentateuch.
Yeah.
The changes in it favor the northern Israel. Versus, and that, so they it's pretty much the same. It's just edited where Jerusalem is not the... Special place.
And that they built their own temple that the Jews actually considered it pagan. Mm-hmm. And so the big argument between the two were the Jewish temple and their temple, which was the best place to worship. Yeah. And something interesting, too, is that we just learned this in our little thing we watched last week, was they're in a culture of honor and loyalty. Is that
honor, shame?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. And so... when I think about it that way, it's like you wouldn't leave your culture, right? So the Jews are very honoring of who they are, very loyal to their own person, towns. And so the Samaritans being half Jewish, half Gentile, it would be like an honor shame maybe too. Yeah. So it was like, you're not good enough for us.
Well, we literally, like in Life Kids, we were just in this where the tribes went to Shechem. And so, like, if you guys remember all the way back in 1 Kings, so Solomon's king, he's the third king of a united Israel. And so then he dies, and his son, Rehoboam, is king. Rehoboam is in Jerusalem. And so he goes north so that the 10 tribes up there, they can coordinate him up there. He didn't make them come to Israel because there was already like some inner disharmony in Solomon's kingdom. So Rehoboam, Solomon's son, goes north and says, "Coronate me king." While Jeroboam, who was Solomon's like military leader, he had left and had been in Egypt because Solomon was trying to kill him. And so he comes back and says, "Hey, your father was so harsh to us. Like, be a good leader to us and we'll follow you." Well, Rehoboam says, "Heck no." And so he then gets chased out of town. So now we're divided. Jeroboam and 10 tribes in the north, Rehoboam and 2 tribes in the south. And so he's like, he doesn't want them to weaken his authority over them. So he builds the temple in Shechem so that the Israelites won't go down to worship and then be reminded, hey, Jerusalem's awesome. Maybe we're supposed to be down here worshiping.
Yeah.
And so that's where it started. What else you want to add to that, Shell? I know you got some research here. I would add this place, like, it's known as Sychar. It's also known as Shechem. I think later it's called, like, Nablus or something. I don't remember that part. But Shechem, you know, like, all the way back in the Old Testament when Abram was promised, you know, to have a huge descendants, he built an altar at Shechem. That's where that happened. Yes. And then later, Jacob, he builds an altar at Shechem. He gets visited. And then so then we know, like, he gives a well to his son Joseph. What else happened there? Oh, Jacob's daughter, Dinah, is raped at Shechem by a man named Shechem. After that, Gideon, one of the judges, his son Abimelech, murders 70 of Gideon's sons at Shechem. Like, there's great things that happen at Shechem, and there's terrible things that happen at Shechem, which is also Sychar, which is right where we are.
I always thought, too, maybe, like, the Sunday school version of this story, it was like Jesus was on this little, nice little walk, and he had to, like, go down this one path, you know, like, no, but, like, Judea to Galilee is 70 miles. So it was days of a trip. So for him to stop and need, for them to stop and need food and water would have probably been very common. So according to Google, depending on how fast you walk, it could be 2 to 5 days.
And depending this is the shortcut.
Yes. And Jews, it's a shortcut.
Jews would take the long way. Because they hated
because
them
they
so
hated
much.
The Samaritan. They did not want to go through Samaria. So,
I think
this
what
was
I love
shortcut.
About that, though, is just hearing about Jesus. Like, that just always gets me. Jesus tired, sit wearily.
Mm. Needed a rest.
He needed a rest.
I wrote down, and I haven't, like, personally dug into this, but didn't the Jews, like the Israelites, kind of consider them half-breeds? Because... And I referenced 2 Kings 17, the Assyrian conquest is kind of what, I don't know exactly what happened there, but that's so, what started.
Yeah, when, because of their disobedience, because of their building altars, because of their worshiping other gods, God repeatedly through the prophet says, repent, come back to me, repent, come back to me. They don't. His punishment is to exile them. So the northern kingdom goes first. They get exiled in 722 BC. So they're exiled. But the people in the north who are left are the farmers, are the poor people. Otherwise, the land would have gone fallow. So they're, like, still, you know, farming. Well, they're gone for years, decades. So they intermarried, which we know all the way back in Joshua. Right. He said, don't marry. Solomon. Don't intermarry. You'll worship other gods. Well, guess what? They did. So then they become half-breeds, where the full Jews are in exile. So then when they return and they want to rebuild the temple, the Samaritans are like, hey, let us help you build this temple up here. Mm-hmm. And again, they said, heck no.
The OGs come back.
Yeah. The OGs!
They're like, hey,
no. It's not going to happen.
No.
Oh, man.
So, well, of course, that means they hate them.
Well, and the king of Assyria, he sent people from five other places to go inhabit that land.
So it wasn't Assyrians, right? It's other people.
No, they weren't. It wasn't Assyrians. It was people from five other regions. He sent them to go inhabit that land with the Israelites who remained for the purpose of trying to maintain control there.
Wow.
To break up their culture.
Yes. Yeah. And so these foreigners that came in from Mesopotamia, you know, they brought all of their ancestral traits, all of their idols, all of their cultural background. And so over time, then all of that just kind of became a big mess, you know, like a hodgepodge.
A melting pot,
yes,
like America.
It was totally a melting pot. Definitely a melting pot of people. Yeah,
you know what
that
reminds me of? I think it's Balaam when the king calls him to come and curse. And then that's a whole story. He's like, I can't curse him. And I think it's Balaam who says the only way you can conquer these people is to send in your women to intermarry with them and then mm-hmm. bring in your traditions. And yeah. so he knew it's like a long game of you just have to infiltrate them and get them to sway, mm-hmm. which isn't that what the enemy's still doing
yeah.
today?
Yeah. Yeah.
Deceiving us.
Oh, my word. I just got a funny detour from that show, Bless This Mess.
It's such a good
show.
She's
like a tapeworm. You just break it up from the inside out.
Yes.
Sorry.
It's the only way to conquer the Israelites. You got to come in like a tapeworm. I will credit Sean and Shelly told me about that.
That show is so yes. funny. Bless This Mess if you need a laugh.
It's so funny. It's so
they good. Just reminded us of you and Hayden.
We don't endorse all the things that happen on the show.
That's true. Yeah,
but it's true. Pretty sure. wholesome fun.
It's funny.
There is a new show, though, out right now called The Baxters that's really, really good.
Oh, you're so, talking about
yeah, that. Yeah, sorry. That's it. A complete detour, but it's on Amazon Prime.
We'll put it in the show
it's
notes.
It's by Karen Kingsbury. It's really good. We're only eight, so we can talk about TV shows still.
One of my Bibles that I liked. Wait, is it the ESV? You know, when I study, I have like so many different versions. One of my versions said he sat down at 6 p.m. I was really? Like, wow. What?
And so it then says I looked at the sixth hour.
Sixth hour. But it said 6 p.m.
Oh.
So then I went on that. So I'm checking almost every version says 12
yeah.
noon.
Yeah.
But I'm like, this was the way you got to study different Bibles. Yeah. Like,
was it like wow. The Message?
It was not The Message. That is not one of them. Sorry. Not the one.
Another important, well, I mean, I guess to me, it's interesting about the Samaritans. Well, a couple of things. So they're brought up again in Ezra chapter 4. Casey, you mentioned 2 Kings 17, but then they're brought up again in Ezra chapter 4. And Jody, you kind of mentioned this whenever, when the exiles coming from Babylonia, the Jews who had been taken as the Israelites who had been taken as captives to Babylon, whenever they were able to return, and Zerubbabel is trying to rebuild the temple, there were Samaritans. The scripture doesn't refer to them as Samaritans. It just refers to them as the people who inhabited the land after the Israelites were taken to Assyria. But we know now we kind of have this name to call them Samaritans. They came and offered to help rebuild mm-hmm. Solomon's temple. And that's when you said, you know, that Zerubbabel said no. Mm-hmm. And yet, so then as that story goes on, the Samaritans continue to cause trouble as the Israelites are rebuilding their temple. The Samaritans are trying to, you know, thwart their plans and hinder things. And so I think there are these layers of conflict between the Samaritans and yes. and the Israelites over time. And so then if you fast forward to the fourth or possibly third century BC, then that's when the Samaritans, they end up building their own temple there at Shechem on Mount Gerizim. And so I think when we come to that in John chapter 4, it's so important for us to understand what's going on. You know, where so the Jews, the Israelites, they have their holy city of Jerusalem with their temple there where they worship God. But then you have the Samaritans, they have their holy city of Shechem, and they have a temple at Mount Gerizim where they worship God. And
same
so
Yahweh.
The same God, same, yeah. exactly mm-hmm. the same God, and yet different places. But kind of the last layer, I think, of conflict that happened. So around 100 BC, so approximately 100 years before Jesus comes on the scene, before we start reading what we're reading here in John 4, there was a Jewish priest and king who wanted to expand his own territory and his own power. And so he wanted to kind of gain more respect, maybe, and to impress some of the other Jewish people. But he led a military campaign north into the Samaria region. And he attacked the city of Shechem, and he reduced it to a mere village, and he destroyed their temple there at Mount Gerizim.
Wow.
And so that's 100 years before what we're reading now, mm-hmm. you know, where a Jewish king and priest attacked their holy city and their temple and destroyed it all. And yeah. so, I mean, there's definitely layers of animosity that are going on here. And I think it's interesting because I think that we have this mindset that it's the Jews who have a problem with the Samaritans. And yet when yes. you understand mm-hmm. all the conflict in the, like,
both
so
sides.
seven, over 700 years, what yes. happened in 2 Kings was 722, maybe 721 BC. And then you have Jesus, you know, 700 plus ish years later, like all of this has been going on. Wow. So there's just so much conflict between the two of them. And I think that the Samaritans had a problem with the Jews as well. Oh, yeah, it wasn't just the Jews who had a problem with the Samaritans. But
Case, did you see those remains when you were in Israel?
What?
Like the Mount Gerizim. I know that there are, you can see the temple remains.
You know what? This is why I need to go again.
Tell me about it. What?
Well, because I was
too young.
20. I think Hayden broke up with me that summer.
Oh, and I was like, distracted.
It was this angst. I mean, I journal. And then like a couple days in, it's like, these are a lot of words. These are a lot of places. So I just started snapping a picture, journaling the time and place he was talking about, and then I would just settle in and find something to look at. It's so much information. But, I mean, we probably did see that. We took, because I remember we took a bus ride, and we took a bus ride from Galilee to Masada, and on the bus, our tour guide stood, or our professor, whatever, he stood up and mentioned, look out at where we're at, rocky hills, whatever. And he said, picture this when you're reading the story of the Good Samaritan. It wasn't just a walk from this town to that town. Mm-hmm. You would never just travel through this treacherous place by yourself. And like desert pirates would hole up in little rocky caves and behind shrubs and mountains to come out and murder people. And so you're real far away from, and he was saying, this for us is going to be like a 4-hour bus drive or from wherever we were going to. I need to check that. And he's like, imagine walking that. Like you said, Kelly, it's days. So anyway, I know we saw these places. It's just, it's a blur when
I can't wait.
I need to go and
Kel, do you want to talk about like the geography? Like, I know just imagining like where this city was, you know, like when I was looking into it, it's between two mountains, like you said. But it's on this ridge, this high place, and it says that there are 70 springs. So it's like beautiful. It's well watered. It's got, you know, it's in a beautiful valley full of gardens. Okay. What were you thinking about geography? Or was that, I'm sorry.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
She was talking about how big the territories were.
How far the journey would have been.
I haven't been there. So I'm just imagining like these two mountains. I mean, how beautiful that would be. But there is desert. Obviously, it's a long walk. But this is a beautiful village. Gotcha.
So there's some context as we move forward to the conversation.
All right, so starting in verse 10, let's keep reading here. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true."
Now knowing the animosity in the background, I hear this conversation so sassy.
Yeah.
She's like, let me have some of this magical water. Yeah. Thanks, guy.
Right.
I love, too, that she's like, "You don't have a bucket or a rope. How do you plan on getting this water out?"
It's deep.
It's like so like black and white for her. Right. She's like, totally. You don't have the things you need to get water out. Yeah.
I just don't see her coming submissively like, "Oh, teach me things." I think she's just kind of like, okay, you're dependent on me right now, and I don't like you. So
right, because it goes both ways.
Yeah.
One of the things that, and I know I've heard this and you guys have heard this too, and I believed it for a long time, is that, you know, like we definitely come with this idea from our Western way of living where people live with each other, and maybe in the church, you're like, not maybe, but in the church, you don't live together with someone. So we've got this 20th century, 21st century worldview. But even in our culture, like being married five times is kind of a lot, you know? So I know that whenever we hear like she's coming to this well, it's in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day, and you get this idea like she's covered in shame. Like she doesn't have friends. She's not coming with the girls in the morning time. And it made me remember like there were other times when people came to the well alone, like Isaac and Rebecca. Remember when he was looking for a wife? And so when I was studying, like, I did read that this is like a great place to come to look for a wife.
Oh, really?
Like any time of the day. Well, like if you're a young man looking for, you know, who's getting all the water? It's the young girls.
Yeah.
And oh, so let's go get a drink and see who's over there, you know?
Right.
So it doesn't mean that she didn't have friends, and we're going to see that later. Like she's got a lot of influence.
Sure.
But it just may have been the timing of her day to come get water at noon.
Yeah. One thing I want to mention, especially back in Easter when I mentioned Mary Magdalene and I was like, she was not a prostitute. One thing that I am really trying to keep in mind and something that I've become passionate about when reading the Bible is sometimes the information that's not given is just as important as what is given. And I think that what I was trying to say when I was, you know, supporting Mary Magdalene is not that I know all the facts about her life. I'm just saying we don't know for a fact that she was a prostitute. We don't know for a fact that she was not. I just don't ever want to put context in a story for it to fit what I'm trying to feel or teach from it. Look at the clues we have that's here. We can't all go back 1,000 years and be in context. All we can do is do our best to look up things, to learn as much as we can. And so when we're looking into context about people's lives, I would just encourage us not to add details where there's not to make it fit our story. Yeah. And so with the woman at the well, we don't know what she's going through, but I imagine women in all different situations, all different hurts, pains, trauma, experience can read. And because of the lack of some of these details, you can find yourself in this story and Jesus can meet you there. And so sometimes I think God doesn't paint the whole clear picture because he can relate to all of us. And so anyway, I want to try to not say absolute things.
Sure.
Yeah. Just let the Bible do its job.
Well, and like we were talking about even before we started recording, there's constantly new information being found that sheds light on the past. So like we think we understand a thing and then there's a discovery in Israel and they found such and such, you know, I don't know what, but, and they're like, oh, so that's what happened. So what we do know is different than in 2024 where a woman just says, hey, I don't want to be married to you anymore.
Right.
That is not what's happening in first century Israel. A woman is definitely, it's a patriarchal society. The man is in charge of everything. If he doesn't want to be married to you, you don't have a choice. But you're not the one who gets to go apply for a divorce.
Well, and I think we all listened to at least a portion of Dr. Lynn Kohick's lecture on this, which it was thick for me.
I loved it.
I didn't finish it. It was a lot of information. I was like, I don't know if I'll use this. But she talks about the Babitha files, which I don't remember when they were found, but it's this like collection of legal documents basically from this time, from around this time. And it's...
Was it part of the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Yes, I think it was. Yeah. So it's this collection of these legal documents following a couple families, all their affairs. Yeah. And one is this woman named Babitha. And then another one, there's a lot of this woman named, she says Salome. And so she says, so these two women and just like... they're married, they're widowed, their kids, like their moms would write in documents to make sure they had a certain portion of the dad's inheritance. So basically what she was teaching from it is we do have historical evidence of women like
having
doing
means.
These things. Yeah, like hiring scribes and having these legal things done for them. She said there's very few examples of a woman like filing for divorce. You had to have a covering of
a
like
male
a father
go to court with you.
And there's only one. We only have one document of it going through. And so, and I can't remember, she said who it was. It's some Roman official's wife divorces him. And that's the only one that we have proof that it went through. But she did mention that five is unusual.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't have divorced that many times. So maybe there's some deaths in here. You just, you know, we just don't know.
But it's important to note that it was done to her.
Right.
This was not her choice. She didn't get to choose to be divorced five times.
You can't.
And maybe, and I think too, like, maybe that's why she was so just truthful right away with Jesus. Like, first of all, he's a Jewish man. We already know that he's just like, why are you speaking to me? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan.
It's which, not, she doesn't just know who he is. Not yet. Because she was a woman. It was because she was a Samaritan.
And she was like, oh, yeah, you're right. I don't have a husband. So it's like,
what you say
she
is
was
true.
Ashamed of it.
No.
She wouldn't have told the truth.
Yeah.
Right.
But I agree. Like, no, yeah, it's done to me. It's not like I chose to do this.
And I think what I was learning is that three is not an uncommon. So because of the lifespan, because of death, you know, and because of a male covering, like maybe someone's brother's like, okay, I'm going to be your husband now. Let's try to have an heir.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, well then no heir. So maybe he divorces her. No. Sure. So three is like, okay, everybody I know has been married three times. Mm-hmm. But five this is painful.
Yeah.
And I feel like I see Jesus like, girl, I see you. This is painful what you've been through, and I see it. I want you to know.
Not
I see
out
it.
Of shame.
No, because I love you.
This is the truth about your life.
Like brokenness.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, whoa, he does. Because it's not common. He could have said, you've been married three times. Be like, well, my whole town has been, Jesus.
Right.
He's like, no, you've been married five times. And maybe you're living with your uncle right now.
That's what I was going to. She could be just with a new caregiver. And that's humiliating, too. Like, I can't
take care of myself.
Yeah. Like, I don't have a name. I don't have an heir. I don't have. And I heard I don't remember whose lecture I was listening to, but I heard that some historians think maybe she was either incredibly beautiful or incredibly intelligent, articulate, which we see here. She is intelligent. And that's why even after deaths and divorces, they would keep marrying her, like keep giving her a try. But that maybe she was infertile. And so that could have caused a bunch of divorces.
Because everybody wants an heir.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, normally if the first guy marries her, she's infertile and divorces her. No one else is going to go marry a woman that they know is infertile. So maybe there was something just real a little special
about her.
We just don't know.
But she's going to keep talking with Jesus. But I love that, like you said, Casey, she is intelligent. She is, and we're going to see it. She's having a very intellectual, theological conversation with Jesus, and he invites that.
Yeah.
He wants to talk to his girls about himself.
Yeah.
Should we keep reading then?
Yeah.
All right. So starting in verse 19, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he."
That's so cool. So this is the very first time that Jesus tells someone, he says, "I am the Messiah."
And it's a woman. What'd you say?
And it's a woman.
A Samaritan. Can we also notice that this is actually the longest recorded conversation with the person?
Really?
In all the Gospels?
Oh, wow. I didn't
realize
that.
Jesus and this woman.
Oh, wow.
That's so interesting.
And we don't even know her name. He comes to break down all the cultural barriers.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, he's doing.
I love him.
He is counterculture.
Yes.
He is. He's better than we ever knew.
He's better than we ever knew. You know what I think is, I wonder if, well, I don't wonder. I know. I would not have been as smart as this woman here.
Mm-hmm. And so I got so mad at my Bible the other day when I was reading, because I read the commentaries and it was like, oh, she brought up a theological question to like
evade,
throw him off from what he was saying. And I was like, wait a second. What if she just actually really wanted to know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the teaching that we listened to, she was like, no, women were being taught. They would sit in
synagogue?
Yes,
Temple.
Thank you. Yeah, temple. They were sitting and learning as well. It wasn't mm-hmm. like they were totally naive to what was happening
only
in their
in the
day
temple,
and culture.
Though. Like we yes. know that Jesus was the only rabbi who had female disciples. Like that yes. was unusual.
But they mm-hmm. were learning. So she knew. She knew what was happening in her culture and her day. And she's looking. She knows. I know a Messiah is coming. And I know that this is a political debate in my time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So for it's sure. like, wait a second. What if she was just smart? She actually really wanted to know.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
she told Jesus the truth. So why would she throw a smoke screen up so he changed the yeah. subject?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, wouldn't him. She have just not answered him in the first place? Mm-hmm. It was like, no, I actually have a brain. Thank you. Yeah. We don't need to pretend that I don't.
Well, and that's what I think. I wouldn't have been smart enough. Like, think about this. We are all these years later reading about this, and we know yeah. that Jesus was here, and then he left, and then mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit came. Mm-hmm. Well, that hadn't happened.
Right.
Yes. You literally met with God yeah. in the temple.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. that's where you worshiped. Mm-hmm. We know now we can worship in
anywhere.
Our car, on our yes. bikes. We can worship
everywhere.
They didn't
everywhere. Know that yet.
They didn't know that yeah. yet.
Yeah. That makes me think about it had to have been a regular part of her life. Like, she truly had faith and, like, religion. Because I remember I happened to sit on the plane once to next to a woman that from my childhood church. And she was telling me about her daughter who doesn't live for the Lord anymore. And we were kind of talking about it. And finally, she made this statement. She said, there are 365 days in the year, and God only asks for 52 of them.
Wait, what?
And I was like,
what?
So I'm like mathing.
Doing the math.
First of all, I'm like, asked for 52.
That like, sounds like girl math.
I know. I'm like, what? So she was saying Sundays. Uh-huh. Like,
that's
God only asks for Sundays.
No.
So what you're saying, Kelly, about her knowing the theology, like, think about if you're someone, I mean, probably maybe someone listening. If you're someone, like, when you're learning, it's on Sundays. Yeah. Do you think you'd be prepared for this random right. conversation yes. to happen yeah. outside unless it's
on a
daily,
Saturday?
Yeah, yes. unless it's on your
she
mind on the regular.
That's
like if you're sitting at the yes. gym or a ball yes. game or the salon and someone says something like, is your mind always here mm-hmm. to yeah. where you're ready to have some sort of theological conversation? Yeah. For those of us who that only that day is Sunday, you're not prepared. So to me, this tells me that her faith was genuine and daily. I think. I don't
she
know.
Knew, maybe.
Yeah. You know what else I like too so much is that he says, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter, which is what Jody's saying, whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in yeah. Jerusalem. But he's coming mm-hmm. to say, I'm coming to break all the traditions.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Which that statement would have made both of
right.
us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're both yeah. wrong. Yeah.
Right.
Yes. You're both
absolutely.
Wrong.
Yes.
Wow.
I love that.
I yep. do too.
That's a big.
So and then back to what you're saying is about Kelly, like her, you know, blamelessness, when he says that you've been married 5 times and the person you're with, you know, again, we're just bringing our own cultural lens. He didn't push her towards repentance.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't push her towards a confession.
He didn't say go sin no more.
Yeah, he did not say that.
He didn't say that you were sinning.
It's just factual. And she says, oh, I can see you're a prophet. You know everything about me. And then that's what she tells to the townspeople.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He knows everything about me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have not gone through and counted this up, but every other interaction, like healing or whatever that Jesus has mm-hmm. with someone, he either says, you are forgiven yes. or go and sin no more.
None yeah. of that.
He doesn't forgive her or tell her to yeah. go and sin no more in this yeah, conversation.
Good. Right.
So I'm not suggesting she's sinless at this
sure.
point.
No one is.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
There was no main thing he addressed necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is
I
interesting.
Agree.
Like, why
we
would
all
he
just
have...
learn the story like she's some promiscuous woman? And
right.
that is
yeah.
not true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think my note is that he actually knows her unusual history. He sees her. He knows her name. We don't know her name. She remains nameless this whole time. We still are talking about her. But it's also kind of compared with Nathaniel. Remember Nathaniel?
Oh,
and he's
I
like, oh, mm-hmm. I see you sitting at the fig tree. He's like, oh, you are a prophet. He's like, what? Just because I said I saw you sitting on the tree? Yeah. You know, so it's the yeah. same as her. He's like, he's just naming facts about her.
Yeah.
It's not mm-hmm. terrible facts necessarily.
Yeah.
It's maybe not for her flourishing, but Obviously, we know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Trying to think of, I wrote down, I think maybe this was from Christy McClellan, but she said when she was talking about the interaction between Jewish man, Samaritan woman, she said, Jesus did not come to turn things upside down. He came to turn things right side up.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I love that.
Yes. Yeah. I wrote in a note, like, Nathaniel, Jesus wowed her and by what he knew about them. And so just like you said, he didn't invite them to repentance or forgiveness. He invited Nathaniel, follow me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she did. And she invited others. And they did. But we're ahead of ourselves.
This is the first time. So I just remember in a lot of other interactions, he says, don't tell anyone what has happened.
Yeah.
A lot of times, again, I haven't gone through and counted it up, but oftentimes he doesn't let you go and tell.
Right. Yeah.
And here he does not, like he says for the first time, I'm the Messiah, and he does let her go and like evangelize.
Which comes to the point which I feel like we should always try to make, that Jesus uses women to be the tellers.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
She goes. Mary Magdalene went and told.
Mm-hmm.
She goes and tells.
Is it because he knows we have big mouths?
Maybe. Some of us, I take offense to that, actually.
Okay, sorry.
There are some women who don't like to talk as much as others. And actually, the four of us, I don't feel like we're not high talkers.
I'm a high talker.
You're like a high talker where you don't need to be heard. You know, there's a difference.
Thanks. Thank you. I've worked
on that. There's a difference in being a woman who needs to be heard and a woman who just can't talk. Like, mm-hmm. So yeah. People always be like, oh, well, I'm like, or Jamie will be like, oh, I got so many women in my life. I'm like, you say more words than anyone in our house. What? I'm like sitting on the front door going, liar. Yeah. Like, you have all the words, right. Not me.
High talking and low talking doesn't necessarily have a gender affiliation.
Yes. Thank you.
Remind me again what high and low talking means.
High talkers talk a lot. Like, I don't know. I learned it in a class. I don't know if I want to explain it. We had a project where we took this test and you were either categorized high talker or low talker. And the low talker sat in the middle and they were given a problem and they had to discuss how to solve this thing. And the high talkers, we sat in a circle around them and watched, and we're like biting our nails. Like, cause they're like, all right, so
one person read it. Slow and deliberate.
They're not slow. They're just intentional.
Processing.
I think one person read it and they're like, all right, what do we think? And they all sit in silence and think. And then one person's like, what about, Well, then we switched. The low talkers watched us and we're like, oh yeah, yeah. And then we
get mad chaos.
But so our professor asked us each, how did it make you feel watching the low talkers? And we're like, none of them cared about anything. They sat back. No one was doing anything. Like, they were so like lazy about it. Well, then the low talker said of the high talkers, that was a mess. So disrespectful. They were like butting into each other. Everyone was so selfish. Well, then he read our results. They were the same.
Oh, wow.
So he was like, okay.
So everybody
low talkers
gets it
and
done.
High talkers. Yeah. So
you just get it done.
That's
different.
Not about this. You just get
like
it done different.
Either
yeah.
You're from a big family or you're from a little family. Big families are all high talkers.
Yeah. But yeah, I would say that we're a big family and I don't feel like we have all high talkers in our
really?
Household.
Really?
Yeah.
That's true.
We have two. Well, four if you count the 5-year-olds, but that just might be their age.
Yeah, that's true.
They got lots of words.
Yeah. I don't think the boys aren't high talkers, are they?
No. And Libby
and Libby's not.
No, you could guess the two. It's not hard.
I was guessing the two. Anyway, side note, that doesn't have anything to do about this.
I know, right?
Women,
well, I just keep falling into high and low sounds. So I'm like, wait, I can't make sense of these words.
Yeah. Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love so much, though, that Jesus, that he is counterculture. Like,
yeah.
I think that is something I always want to keep in my mind, too. Like, and it's so cliche, right? Like, what would Jesus do? But here he is talking to a Samaritan and then a woman, and then he announces who he is to her.
Mm-hmm.
That would have never happened in their cultural times.
Right.
Because women weren't, it's not that they weren't valued, but they were lorded over. Right. And so he was like, no, that's not the way it rolls around here.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's just intentional with everyone, not with men. I love it actually that he's intentional with a woman. And then you can see his disciples roll back and like, what are you doing?
Which again, why were they so surprised? Because they had seen Jesus have women followers.
Sometimes, are you not like with the disciples? Are you like, are you guys paying attention?
Yes.
Like,
so where have you been? What food are you eating, Jesus?
Oh, I love that. Did someone go get him food?
Like, so literal. It's like,
wait, there's not McDonald's on the corner.
No.
Like, no.
I love that Jesus is like, I have food you don't even know about. He's so sassy.
And then they're so literal, like, well, can we have some? Yeah. Can we talk about this living water? I know we passed it up, but like, I love this phrase, living water, and it happens in scripture, you know, and of course we're in a desert world, which I've never been over there, so I can't wait to see it. But like there is like water is something that people really talk about. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, having still water. Well, that would be disgusting. That's in a cistern, it's collected. Like if that's all you have, great. But who doesn't want a clean, fresh, bubbling brook? Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus is like, I'm not even just going to sustain you. I have living, bubbling, not stagnant water. Mm-hmm. It's different water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, that's true.
We're not reading from 27, right? Mm-hmm. Moving on. I like you kind of pointed it out, Jody, I think, but the fact that when she goes back to the town, the people listen to her, which is just another little clue here in trying to figure out who this lady is.
She's respectful.
Obviously, the town likes her and listens to her. You know, if she was this outcast,
why would they listen to her?
Yeah, then you run back to town. You're like, hey, they're like, no, we're not going to listen to you.
And interesting, because we saw in the resurrection story that they don't believe the woman's testimony when they say Jesus has risen.
And it's like one of their
It says,
friends.
Here we go again. The disciples aren't paying attention and they don't believe her. And it's someone that they've been around.
Yeah, they should have trusted her.
So like here's another. I mean, not that she would have been known in the town, but. Mm. And they just like believe her right away. So they're looking, right? Don't you think? Like if she's saying, hey, come see this man. Mm-hmm. Now, are they thinking at the time this could be the Messiah too? Mm-hmm. Like, do they think that? Are they looking?
Well, it makes me wonder, like, because she has such a great theological conversation, political conversation with Jesus. She knows her times. Like, what if she was like, you know, a respected kind of like Anna? You know, in the temple, like she knows about God. Like she could have been a woman like Anna who's looking for the Messiah. And so they're like, oh, she's a Yahweh girl. Like, what does she have to say? Yeah. You know? And so they're like, okay, she's into this religion talk. So she probably knows. Let's go see what she's talking about.
The town could have had some sort of like heart for her too, like protection over her. If they've watched her from 10, 12 years old, like have this walk of
husband,
whatever's
husband,
happened. Husband. Yeah, they could have felt they all know kind of protective story. Of her.
I love that she thought. Been,
I don't know. Again, I don't know.
I
want to back up just a smidge before she goes to the town. I love in 34, Jesus says, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, and he's saying this to the disciples, but I say, wake up and look around. Mm-hmm. The fields are already ripe for harvest, and the harvesters are paid good wages.
Yeah,
I love. He's like, hey guys, wake up!
The time you just has went to come. Town. What like, were you doing?
Yeah, what'd you do in the town? Mm-hmm. Did you tell anybody I was here? Did you bring anybody out to see me? And I mean, in a way, it like makes you feel a little bit like good about yourself sometimes because you're like, when Jesus is like, hey, are you paying attention? Hey, are you bringing anyone along? Hey, like, who have you loved on today? And you're like, okay, the disciples missed it too. Not like it's like, oh, it's not a pass,
right? Yeah,
but it's like, oh yes, I need to always be paying attention.
Yeah,
more like a wake-up call. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, you're right, I should always be paying attention.
But and like you said, Kelly, I don't know if you said this on the recording or off, like what kind of prejudices are we coming with that we don't talk to that person about Christ and they are ready. They are ready to hear it. If you say the word, they are ready to give their life to Christ and follow him.
And don't you love, too, that I think in our culture that we think truth is bad. So if there's something truthful about your life, more than likely, we're going to back away from it and not tell you because now we don't want you offended and mad.
Oh, yeah.
But Jesus says the truth, though. Again, that could be because she wasn't ashamed of the truth that was in her life.
And culturally, maybe not shameful.
Tells her the truth, and she doesn't get mad about it. She presses in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's sometimes we back off from the loving thing to do is tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we think loving is accepting, and that's not the truth.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to tell you the truth. And maybe you'll get mad and maybe you won't, but also maybe you're ready and ready for the harvest.
Yeah.
Instead of being afraid of what the response from that person is going to be and just be obedient to what God is asking us to do.
Mm-hmm. It does always make me wonder, how does Jesus do it? How does he do it when he says to someone, go and sin no more, and they respond.
You know what? He doesn't have RBF probably.
Nope.
It's his kind face.
Wow.
The resting bee face.
Oh.
I was like, I have no idea what we're talking about right now.
It's like
right over my head.
When you're just sitting resting, you look like
not nice. I don't look nice.
I've really worked on it.
I got it.
Something about
it.
Him was so inviting, even when he was saying,
yes.
Babe, the way you're doing it. Yeah, don't do that.
That's
anymore.
What I need. We need to pray for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For people to feel that like safe and seen by us.
Yeah.
You know, and I know I can be like, you get busy about your day and you don't pay. Like even just walking in and out of grocery stores, I've done this many times. And then I try to like bring myself back. Like you zip around an old person because they're taking too long, you know, instead of just like giving them a smile
see
and
them.
A high and like look at them in the eyes and be gentle and kind to them. Like you just have to know that like that was Jesus's whole
way.
Personality. Mm-hmm. I mean, he couldn't have been any other way, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
and that I love like the end of this section, 42. Then they said to the woman, now we believe not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the savior of the world.
Yeah.
How do you live from that moment on? There's a man in your village who is the savior of the world.
Right.
And then you want to know, what do the Samaritans think about the death and resurrection? You know what I mean? Like, I want to know their thoughts.
Like when they heard, when word got there, what had happened. Yeah. Like, I wonder.
Were they like, oh yeah, we already knew that.
Because there was someone later, and like we know Samaria is a region, so there's different towns in Samaria. And I can't remember, I stumbled on it the other day, and Jesus wanted to go that way, but they said, you can't pass through our town. So like not all of Samaria.
Yes. It was just this little
town. Village.
Yes. Is that where the Sons of Thunder, like, do you want us to destroy them?
Yes.
And Jesus is like, what do you think you're talking about?
No. Right. But so like, how did the word not keep traveling?
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that's crazy.
There's so many details we just don't
know. I know.
We're never going to know.
Shelley, I want to know what ESV says. So mine does say, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. I think that phrase might be where some people get that she'd done all these bad things.
Yeah.
Like God called me out. What does the
ESV? In verse 39.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He told me all that I ever did.
Yeah.
Told me all that I ever did.
It's pretty clear. I didn't do like a word study on it, but I mean.
Which makes me wonder, like maybe their conversation was, you know,
like
all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just the five husbands. Like there would have been more.
Yeah.
True.
That's
what
probably else? True.
Because John is the one who says, if I wrote every single thing that Jesus did and said, there were not enough books to contain it all.
Yeah.
It's just the important facts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought whenever I read, because it's, I think it says that two or three times. It says he told me it's when she has the conversation back in the town and as she like goes to town. I don't remember. I think it's in there twice. But that I'm like, well, I guess maybe if you're reading this without looking more into it, you might think like, oh, he called out all her sin. Like, you know, that's just
kind of we don't hear how their conversation actually ends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And 25, she says, I know the Messiah is coming. Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. That's the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
Then the disciples are coming back. She's leaving. She didn't say anything like, I know you are the Christ, the Son of the Living. Like, there's no confession. Like, she walks away.
Yeah.
And she doesn't go in and say, come meet the Christ.
Right.
She says, come meet a man
who told me.
Yeah.
Huh.
And I like, too, that the town, they didn't just come out to see him. they didn't just come like, oh, yay, hey, thanks for stopping by. They invited him in.
Yeah.
Begged and then him he stayed. So then it's like, days.
Do you think she would have said more to them? Mm-hmm. You know? And then how fast can you tell a whole town?
Right.
They didn't have Twitter.
Right.
Yeah. You know? So how long did that take? Would she go house to house? Did she go to the market? Like, where'd she go?
Where'd she go?
And she left her water jar. Well from town. And yeah.
She ran back telling everybody. Mm-hmm. So the people came streaming from the village to see him.
Streaming. That means a lot.
That means like.
Pouring. Like there's pouring traffic.
That means like me watching the traffic of everyone trying to leave the eclipse. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh,
who knew our little guy was so special?
You guys, it was from 4 to 7:30.
Oh my gosh. Streaming. Oh, I forget. You get a great view of it.
Oh my goodness. Oh, wow.
Yes. Southern Illinois. Something that Jess said on the follow-up that I love so much is that, and maybe this wasn't too difficult for her to do, but that Jesus and God, they do call women to do hard things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
We are called to do hard things. Everyone's called to do hard things. But I think that it's something that we shouldn't take lightly, where it's like we are called to stand up for what we believe in. We are called to, you know, go out and reach people. We are called to be the teachers. We are called to, we're called to do all kinds of hard things. Like that it's not like we don't have a job to do. We have a job to do. He's multiple times has given women jobs to do. Mm-hmm. And we can't take that lightly.
Mm-hmm. I just had a thought. You did press record, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It has happened before that we didn't. That's a valid question.
How should we close this up, Shell? You have final thoughts?
I do not have final thoughts. I can close in prayer.
Yeah. I do want to say, like, I love just coming and learning, and we all bring something different that we've learned to the table. I think that's what I love so much about it, and that we don't have all the answers. We don't know, and we're not the final authority, obviously, but that we're just on a journey learning and that everybody gets to come along.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
That's one thing that I will say. The main thing that I took away from my trip to Israel is not to ever be, I don't want to not let myself learn a new perspective of the story. Because, I mean, we went to places where, so the trip was like 4 different colleges and professors, and then there was like however many students, and then our teachers on the trip, the ones that live there and like are teaching us. And we would sit around for sometimes hours as the older professors, like, it would get heated.
Really?
They're
about their ideas?
Arguing
or
with
their viewpoints?
Yes. Yeah. And, I mean, they... I remember one of them was when we learned about the nativity scene. We went to... there's this place that's kind of... He always said... No, not that he's right either. Like, everyone's just kind of studying. He always said, if we can get it within 2 centuries? I don't remember. If we can get it within 2 something of the date of it happening, they kind of just take that as... That's close enough. That's probably true. And so there's a couple places he took us that another guide might not, or somewhere we didn't go, because everyone has their own perspectives on how valid these places are. And we learned about where the birth may have happened. And they're like, wait, so not a barn, not a stable, not a... And it was this all afternoon fight. And I remember me and like some of the younger students were just like, who, like, this man lives here and learns it in its language. Why wouldn't you just believe what he says? And these, like, the older professors were fighting about it. And I don't know. And I don't remember all the ins and outs of the conversations, but I just, in that moment, I was like, I don't ever want to get there.
Yeah.
Where someone shares a perspective I hadn't thought of or tells me in its language in the physical place, actually, you're reading it this way. I'm looking at it. It actually happened this way. I want to be like, oh, well, you're looking at it. You would know. I just always want to be teachable. Yeah. And so even if God tries to lean me, hey, read that verse again. Like, I don't want to be set up in case he's
away. I feel like
it's
generational. And Jamie and I have talked about this a lot. It's generational, right? So I don't know what my generation's called. Or are we in the same generation?
Well, you're not boomers. I called my mom boomer the other day.
Your mom is a boomer.
No, she's not. She looks
up. No, she's not.
Well, mine's okay, my mom's a boomer.
Yes.
Are we Gen Z?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
But whatever. So whatever. So I guess maybe the boomers and above.
Yeah.
They get very stuck, right? Mm-hmm. But I think, does every generation do that? So we were very stuck. So here we are saying, you know what? The Samaritan woman wasn't promiscuous. She wasn't, it wasn't shameful that she had five husbands. Is it, will they come in and be like, well, I've always learned it that way.
I know.
That's, we have had that conversation at our house like four or five times this week. Like, please don't ever get there. Yeah. Let's never get there. Let's always be learning instead of getting stuck, like you're saying, like just stuck where we believe and there can be no other thing. Like,
yeah.
No. So I think it might be generational. Yeah. So if you're a boomer and above, learn something.
Well, I think that's why it's so important, like what happened, you know, Pastor Jamie has put these two groups together, like the young and the old, you know, like I'm learning from Nathaniel Drums right now.
I love that.
And it just like, it just makes you like talk to a young person who has a different perspective than you do. Mm-hmm. And it's refreshing.
It's refreshing. Mm-hmm. And you can give wisdom where they don't have it. And they can give you new fun ideas. Yes.
They give you fun ideas.
We can,
but you know what
learn.
I wanted to say about that, Kel, too, is just like you said, like, I think it's so important. I love having study Bibles and I love having like the, what do you call it down here at the bottom?
Commentaries.
I love commentaries. Commentaries are not inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Right. It's
that's why I got mad at my Bible.
Yes. So I think it's so good. Like I love, one of my practices is to start with a Bible that has no commentary. Mm-hmm. So I'm not tempted to look at it. You're like, all right, Holy Spirit, what can you tell Jody?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't have a PhD. I don't, but like, He can talk to us. We don't have to have a PhD.
Yes.
And then you can learn and see what other people, where they've landed. But it doesn't mean, like you said, Casey, that what they're saying is true or right.
Mm-hmm.
It might be wrong.
Yeah, just always use. I've always, like before I read the Bible, I always pray that I would be transformed by the renewing of my mind, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, that I wouldn't come to know something on my own understanding. And then that God would show me something if He's going to. And if not, it's like, okay, I still had daily bread today, you know, move past it. Because normally I like a story that's pushing. Like I want to know the whole, I want to be putting people, places together. I want to learn the whole story. And some parts of the Bible aren't that. Like the New Testament is a lot of advice. And so sometimes I'm like, there's not something for me to dig super deep here all the time. Sometimes it's just, hey, do this, don't do that, like act this way, or this is how I want the church set up, or whatever. And so it's not about Casey having some epiphany every single time. Mm-hmm. I want to just
that's how just I felt this led. Morning in First Kings. I was like, okay, where are you, Lord? Just eating some bread.
That's how I am in Psalms right now. Like I'm trying to read, ever since the conference, I'm trying to pray the Psalms every day. And there's not necessarily, I mean, it's song to song to song to song. So it's not necessarily anything to remember what we read yesterday and, now the story's pushing to here, or it's moving to there. It's just the end. That was that song. Tomorrow we'll sing a different song. But I trust that over time it will transform your heart. So I'm just sticking with it. I'm like, all right.
I do wonder, though, if you go up that chronological Bible.
Oh, yeah.
Because those Psalms are placed near the stories that the events, they were inspired by.
I'm trying not to do that, Jody.
Okay, sorry. Okay, you just want to help. I gotcha. I love it.
Just trying to trust the Lord.
Well, how do we feel about Jesus and this woman? I mean,
good.
Good. Mm-hmm. I love
so
him. Sweet.
He's so kind.
He's tired.
He loves women. He's That's hot. What we love about him.
He's thirsty. But he had to go to Samaria.
And guess what? He never got a drink.
I know. He never, Well, she did leave her water jar.
Hot
so
and
maybe.
Thirsty. That, you know why? Because he said his nourishment comes from doing the will of God. So his thirst went away.
Wow. Yeah.
That's why.
That's a good one. It's a good way to end.
Yeah. Shelley, you want to pray for us?
Sure. Lord, thanks again for the opportunity that we have just to get into your word and to share. And to be challenged and to just hear truth. And God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would speak louder than any other voice and that you would just continue to teach us and help us to grow in you and to grow to be more like you and just continue to love you and serve you in everything that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for the She Wakes podcast. For more information, you can visit our website at lifeillinois.org. We'd also love to see you on a Sunday morning for church at 8:30 or 10:30.